PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
And welcome back, my friends, to a brand new episode of Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards. You can find me on Twitter at CanadanGolf. With me this week for his first, and hopefully not last, hopefully don't scare him away, visit to the podcast is my good friend, Dax Jeter. He is an avid THPer. You can follow him in on Twitter, if you dare, at Dax Jeter. It's not the safest thing to do. Daxy, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Oh, man. I am doing awesome. You are, like I mentioned, an avid THPer. Can you, for at least anyone listening in who maybe is not familiar with THP or doesn't know you from the site, can you fill us in? What's your golf story, man? What gets you excited about the game of golf, and where do you play?
Well, I've been a member of the forum since 2014. I think I found it during, I followed the 2014 Morgan Cup, just stuck around. And I'm a gear junkie. What brings me to golf is that it's a game that you can play for a very long time, your entire lifetime. Like, my dad used to take my brother and I to play golf. I play with my brother all the time. We're teaching my nephew how to play. So it's a very generational game, and I really enjoy playing it. So THP is a place where I get to go and talk golf and gear, which, you know, it's usually blame the arrow, not the Indian, right? I go through a lot of gear, and I'm not unlike a lot of people on that forum, because we change our bags all the time to chase what we're looking for, which is a better golf game.
So, true or false, you have a secondary position for work with the intent of purchasing golf clubs?
Yes. Well, yes. Yeah.
So you're like a once a week kind of guy at a local shop, or what's the story there?
Yeah, I worked once a week at the golf department at Dick's with the sole intention of just using that to buy gear.
It's amazing. Yeah. I never took it that far, man. I guess, you know, with the transition into doing club reviews on THP, I got satisfied with a lot of the ponderings, I suppose, if you will, through some of that. But I never did get into the secondary position purely for the discount.
So this is how this happened.
This is what we want here.
So before, when I was single, I didn't have the most mature relationship with money, right? So when I went, like, if I saw something I wanted, or I wanted new wedges or whatever, I would just get it, right? And so I got married, and we combined finances, and I just remember one day, my wife, Leslie, she yells from downstairs and is like, is Callaway Golf a monthly charge? Because she's trying to figure out, like, what is coming out of my bank account every month. And I didn't realize that at the time. But, I mean, this is back probably, I mean, so it was 2015. So, yeah, there was a lot going on. That was, like, when XR was out. So, I mean, there was, like, an XR hybrid in there. There was some Mac Daddy wedges. I think I threw a putt. But it was, like, it wasn't all in one time. It was, like, month after month after month after month. And she was just trying to figure out, how much do you spend at Callaway Golf per month.
That's gotta be pretty challenging then, right? Because we're talking Epic release at that time. We're talking new Chrome Soft, not just new Chrome Soft, but at a price that's incredibly appealing. I think it started at like $37 a dozen.
Yeah, the OG Chrome Soft. Yes, yes, yeah. Three piece, low compression.
So this was a critical time in your marriage. You got to find out truly how much you love this woman, who, by the way, is an absolute saint. Tolerate you. Let's just be clear.
That's absolutely true. So okay. Well, you know, I had just set my bag up. So, I mean, I was like, yeah, don't worry about it. It's not monthly. Well, then I think RTX 3 came out, the wedges.
Mm-hmm.
So I roll in after work. I go in, I buy, you know, a 50, 54, 58, roll back into the house, holding these three wedges. And yeah, you would have thought like I didn't know that I was supposed to. I mean, remember, we were just freshly married. I didn't know that there was like you had to clear expenses or anything. And so from that moment on, this is how I transitioned into getting this part-time job, because I wasn't going to stop my habit of buying gear.
Has it gotten any better? And I'm going to be, I need to clarify that question. Obviously, when you do buy, you're a little bit more careful about it. You don't just roll through the house with three wedges in hand, right?
Mm-mm, no.
You figured it out a little bit?
Absolutely not. I mean, I think that the one key thing that if some of the listeners have to do this is like, she doesn't go through the bag. She doesn't know what my bag signature is at any given moment. Like if you get something, it's best to just leave it in your car and then put it in your golf bag and just roll back into the house with it in the bag. And she doesn't know if it's new or not.
Let the record show, since we're doing this via video, but it comes out in audio, he's looking around, making sure no one's listening while telling this story. I don't know where the room is or the doors in that room, but it's clear you're treading pretty fine line here.
Well, you've met my wife.
I have, and she is wonderful. I was actually, I asked her first to come on the show, and she said no, so I ended up with you. It is what it is.
She's going to hear this story. She's an avid listener on Fridays.
Okay,
awesome. She goes, oh, there's Dan. He still lives in Siberia.
That's true. Right. She is the main proponent of me moving south, which I support. So what's in the bag right now? Are you primarily a Callaway guy still?
Yes. Okay. So I do have, every club is a Callaway club. So I have an Epic Max, low spin driver. Shout out to all my shafts are going to be UST Mamiya. Shout out to Danny Lee and that company. I love them. I've got an Epic Max 3-wood, an OG Super Hybrid's in that 5-wood spot right now, but it's on notice. An Epic Apex 4 hybrid. My irons are Apex DCBs. My wedges are Zipcore, so Cleveland wedges. And then right now, I've got a Seymour Nashville 1SS in the bag. Butter.
And that's pretty fitting considering you are a Nashville guy. So it mm-hmm. makes a lot of sense to buy local there. That's cool. There's actually two things that kind of triggered my brain there as you're running through your set. Callaway this year went to pretty heavy lengths to make sure people could combo their iron sets. They even gave some of them names where you could buy different heads to match the profile, but you went full on DCB. That's a big play. That's a challenging decision for any avid golfer to make. What got you there?
Well, I mean, the form we tested ever, I went over to the tech studio HQ and literally tested every single iron that was released and compared them to my new ones. And these just so happened to, it wasn't so much ball speed, because if you really wanted to get ball speed, I think the Mizuno, the Hot Metal Pros, the 921 Hot Metal Pros actually produced the fastest ball speed. These produce the fastest ball speed on miss hits. So we dotted all the irons up. We figured out where I was missing. I'm not an exquisite ball striker. I mean, you've played with me, right?
So, I would not use the term exquisite. That's pretty fair.
Right. So we did, you know, Josh and I were discussing it, and we were like, look, let's go ahead and fit to what would be the best club for you to have if you're missing.
Mm-hmm. Which I fully support. I believe that makes perfect sense. Go on.
Yeah. So we hit that. I had a final four. I fell in love with this set of irons, the Zexio X-Forge.
Yeah.
Which for those of you listening, believe me, you think that Zexio is just for old men, right? Like I'm telling you, most of the people that are listening for this, oh yeah, Zexio is my granddad plays that. No. This is legit. This X Forged was a legit iron. It felt like hitting a cloud. I still waffle back and forth because I put those in the bag for a little while, and then I started chasing a little bit more forgiveness and ball speed with the DCBs. But like this was the year of the iron. I couldn't. I really couldn't. There was like four or five iron sets that I could have played no problem based on what we saw in the tech studio.
Mm-hmm. So here's my challenge to you. If you like that forgiveness and you're willing to compromise there in whatever way that means, why do you only have Zipcore wedges? Because Cleveland makes an awesome transitional wedge.
Yes, with the CBX2, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, because I'm carrying the set gap wedge. So I thought about a CBX2 if I would be carrying a 50, but I carry the gap wedge in the Apex. And I've carried that set A wedge ever since Apex, the CF16s.
Okay.
Which was like one of the greatest A wedges of all time. And so like I used to do 50, 54, 58. And then if I was carrying a non-set wedge 50 degree, I probably would go with the CBX2s.
Okay. And then ball, Chrome Soft, sounds like?
Nah, Z-Star.
Uh-huh. I mean, you rattled off the information on the original Chrome Soft like you have stock in it. I'm surprised that you've transitioned into Z-Star. How much time have you spent hunting golf balls? I should be clear, hunting for your golf ball, not for golf balls on the golf course.
Well, I play Yellow Dan. Okay. So, and I go back and forth. Sometimes it's AVX, but like you saw me when we played together, I played the AVX, the yellow. I probably wasn't getting enough greenside spin that day that we played.
I was hitting divide that day. I was totally wrapped up in my own business.
Right. I do think that of all the premium balls that I play at a course that is right off the banks of the Cumberland River here in Nashville, mm-hmm. It tends to get very windy. It's a link style course. Usually the wind conditions and the greens defend it. And I found that the Z-Star with the spin skin, in fact, Strixon balls almost all together, they tend to play better into the wind than any of the other premium offerings in my experience.
Heavy, heavy perspective there. Let's hear a little bit more about your golf course. I've had a chance to play it. Mm-hmm. There's sort of an interesting story there. Can you divulge us or provide with us a little bit more context into what makes your course so fascinating?
Well, it used to hold. So the golf course itself is Gaylord Springs here in Nashville. It's owned by the Marriott now. It used to hold the when the Bell South Senior Open used to come through Nashville. That's where they used to hold the tournament here. Like Lee Trevino won a senior event on this course a couple times. He also called the fifth green the most unfair green on the entire senior tour. So, if you ever get down here to play, it's a pretty good, it's a good course. It's getting a lot more play because we've entered, golf sort of like pro wrestling. Like pro wrestling gets really, really popular and then you don't hear about it. And golf sometimes gets really, really popular and then you don't hear about it. Well, we're at like one of these really popular phases in golf, and we're just getting a whole lot of play right now. So, are you familiar with the flood that occurred in Nashville back in 2010?
I can be.
Okay. So back in 2010, Nashville flooded. The Cumberland flooded. It was like it does this like once every 150 years, according to the news and stuff.
Anyway, and that's your golf course right there. Like,
yeah, right it was there. Right there on the Cumberland. The okay. Entire course was underwater. So in order to get they had to close the course for a long time. And in order to get play back, what they did was they went from, sort of a resort course to a little like a playing membership model. OK. And we play roughly $3,000 a year, unlimited rounds, unlimited cart, unlimited range balls. They keep our handicap for us. There's a free lesson. You get a free driver fitting. Not a free, it's all included in your membership every year. And they were really pushing that hard, 2011, 2012, when they were trying to bring revenue back to the course. Well, now it sort of feels they've lowered the number of those type of playing memberships available every year for the last several years. And now it sort of feels like they kind of don't want us around anymore, even though they really needed us around when they needed that revenue generation after, post flood and when golf wasn't as hot as it was now. COVID made golf hot all of a sudden.
Yeah. So That's such an interesting conversation because I remember, you know, back in the just after 2000 or so, golf was insane. It was, there were not enough courses that could be built. Everyone who was in business played it. And if you didn't play it, you were staying in the office while everyone else you knew was playing it. You know, it's huge. And then we went through those lean years where you could tell the amount of appreciation that went into golfers who committed money year in and year out to playing the same golf course. I think we're in a weird spot. I'm certainly seeing that a little bit with my golf course as well. Dues are changing and obviously prices are going up on a lot of things. So it makes sense, but there's a little bit of that less we need to please you feel and a lot more that we're here, deal with it kind of thing. These are the decisions we're making, deal with it. Is that off-putting for you? Do you feel like that whole condition changes your perspective on your golf course in an unfair way?
Yeah, I mean, I think it does. I think it's a great course. It does. It's not a country club. It doesn't offer all of the sort of the amenities or an experience that like a country club type course does. I mean, the members there, we come to play. We're just coming to play golf because it's part of the resort. I mean, we do have to deal with with sharing the course with the Opryland resort that's right down the road, and a lot of their guests come over and play. I felt like that we were more appreciated when they were just trying to get the course rebuilt and during those lean fall months, 2012, 2013, where they weren't generating a whole lot of revenue or people weren't coming over from the resort. They really liked having the revenue from our memberships. But since like you can't get a tee time in town, it sort of flipped a little bit and like, okay, well, we're gonna, like one of the rule changes this year was like they took away our extensive window of 30 day in advance tee times, right? Mm-hmm. So we used to be able to even go 45, 60 days out. And if you had a regular group and you wanted to play at 8 and then go off at 8 and 8:10 every morning, we used to be able to do that 2 months in advance. Then they cut it to 30 days. Then they cut the number of tee times that they would allow in that early morning window on the weekends. So slowly but surely, then we had a mini revolt last year because the range was always included in our membership. I mean, I've been a member there since 2011 when they first offered this, right? Cart range was never separate. Well, we got our new one, starting last year, and then they attempted to charge us an extra fee to hit range balls.
Okay.
And it didn't go over well. Okay. In fact, it was so unpopular that they multiple calls to Marriott, emails, this is ridiculous. Da, 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 da. Anyway, they reversed their decision and we can get, our range bars included in our membership now. But that's what you're talking about, right? Hey, we used to love to have you. Now it's like, hey, you're kind of lucky to even be here.
Yeah. So what is it like splitting play like that with non-members? Do you have a pace of play issue at all?
If you go out early enough, probably not. So if you're going out with a bunch of members and you know that you hit that block of times, usually it's not a problem.
So let's say I'm teeing off at 11:30 on a Saturday morning.
No, bro. 11:30 Saturday morning, you're probably going to play a 5-hour round. And then you're going to see the marshal. There are marshals there. Okay, I don't know exactly what their mission right now is, because it's not to move people along. It's to have a flag on their car, their cart to wave at you when you go by. Like old school marshals would make people skip holes.
Yeah.
Like I've been in situations where I watched the marshal say, all y'all need to pick up, move, from the sixth hole to the seventh hole. You're not gonna screw up the pace of play at this course. Now, people that stay at the resort pay a bunch of money to play my course. I mean, I think that, I think it's like 90-something bucks on the weekends.
During still the pretty good deal nowadays for a golf course like that, though.
I think that people, pay their money. And look, I'm not one of these people that I know that I'm not a slow player. Okay. Like, I know this. But I've never met anyone that would admit to being slow. everyone, anyone. Have you?
Are you pointing at yourself right now, or is that like?
No. Like, I know people that I play with all the time, that they'll complain about slow play, but they're slow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I had a good chat with my GM a week, maybe a couple weeks ago, talking about how one group playing in just over the limited, the pace of play expectation impacts the next, you know, however many groups behind him. And it's a 3-minute increment per group. And that's sort of, it's kind of like a traffic jam. Your traffic jam isn't where the slowdown is. It slowly progresses backwards and gets worse. So we have members who are consistently slow and have been notified of that and don't seem to be too concerned with it. So I think we have two different conversations that are going on. Number one, people either don't think they're slow or they don't care they're slow. And, you know, I look at it like anything else. Like, it's kind of an offensive thing to tell someone they're a slow golfer. And it's not an easy thing to tell a friend they're a slow golfer, because you know that that impacts them negatively to hear it. I've found the most appealing way to play golf is to be almost a chameleon golfer. I will never allow a gap in front of me, but I'll also modify my play. And there's a lot of talk on tour about this as well, about modifying the way you play to accommodate the speed of others. There's nothing good about pushing up just to wait. And I actually catch grief on that a fair bit, because people say, you know, what are you doing? I'm like, well, where are we going to go? Like, you want to go up and hit your ball? Where are we going to go? So it's like kind of spreading it out a bit. It's a mentality thing. And yeah, I found a nice little wheelhouse there, but I don't know, man. I feel like you're in a weird spot, because these people come in and they pay their money. They have no obligation to play at a pace unless your marshals are out there, you know, giving them grief. And what's the worst thing they do? Say no.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that I think sometimes I gaslight myself. Like, maybe like I like to play quick. You played with me before. You know, maybe I should do other things and sit there and watch someone that there's zero chance that they're going to make this putt, walk around it three times like they're trying to sink something at Oakmont. You know, like, look, Gaylord Springs is not Oakmont. Okay. Look, just pick a line and let's hit it. All right. I prefer the COVID rules, where you had the little cup that was, you know, how the cup was like up out of the hole, and all the people had to do was like bang the cup, and then that counted during COVID.
You did not prefer that. You were lying.
I did, because it's
for everyone but you. All right, let's pick up the, you know, there's no way. If there's not a hole to putt in, it's not golf. I'm saying that right now.
Like, I heard the show where y'all discussed this. Okay.
Hated it.
We never played faster than when COVID was like a really hot thing here.
That,
like,
was single rider carts too, though, right?
Yeah, single rider carts.
I think that's a big one, because here's my perspective on that. You can be a slow golfer around the greens and still be a fast player by comparison. I think there's a lot more to slow play than just around the greens. And not to mention, if you are starting to do your walk once the last person putts, you might be a little slower. But if you're the guy who waits to do anything and then it's your turn and then you eventually get there, then I think there's so much more to it than just on the green. You know what I mean? Like, there's a balance there.
For the guys, the green's the most visible. I think it's
I would agree with that. Yeah, because you see a guy moving 20 feet instead of 200 yards, sure. But the guy back in the fairway is still fixing his divot while everyone else is up on the green. That's the guy I worry about.
I think everyone should get like those scooters like you had.
Oh, the Finn scooters, man. Yeah, I've been dreaming about those things. You know what I found out? I could buy one and get like a little hitch for the back of my car. I could probably get that done.
You could buy one.
Yeah.
Did you talk to your wife about
this? I am so into it. I think it would be easier to convince my wife than it would be to convince my GM that it's a good idea.
Okay. Right. Oh, that's another thing. I mean, I can't believe I came on off course and we're just drilling my home course, which is, if you come to Nashville, it is a really cool course to play.
Yeah, for sure. Check it out.
This motorized pushcart thing has been, it's become a thing.
Yeah, right? Motocaddy, like, shout out.
Right. My course won't allow this.
Oh, really? Nothing motorized. Do they allow you to bring your own click gear or something like that?
No.
Bag boy?
No push carts at all. No push carts at all. They don't allow. Like, you can't even rent them.
Can you walk?
Yes.
You can walk. So you can walk the golf. What's their argument there?
I can walk, but I only can walk in the fall. Like, I only can walk in the off season.
Oh, okay. So there's, but you can't push in the off season.
Mm-mm.
They don't want you to get too comfortable. I think that's the real problem. You know what I really think it is? And these golf courses will never admit to it. I think they know that pushing is so much more likely for these older folks or maybe less in shape folks. Pushing makes walking viable, and they don't want people to feel that way. They want people to feel like they should ride.
Because the cart rental is a revenue generating stream.
100%.
Yeah.
I honestly think, and no matter how much they argue it, I really think they know that closing the gap there is going to encourage their membership to be healthier. And that actually really bothers me, Dax, because I think golf is an opportunity to get exercise. And by forcing people to carry a bag on their back if they want to get exercise, which technically isn't very good for us, we weren't exactly designed to haul things on our back. I think that's kind of messed up, man.
Like one of the last times I played with you, I walked. Carried.
Yeah. Yeah, you did.
Was almost dead. Was almost dead at 16. It was, I was cast. Totally cast.
Like 100 degrees out, but feels like a billion with the humidity. I was using a moto caddy, which was sweet. And we look back at one point to give a wellness check at our friend Dax, and he's slowly making his way up the hill with a bag.
Hats off to, let's see, I have an Ogier. The only bag I will walk with is like one of those Ogier Sears bags. Like, I brought it that day. It's pretty light. It's a good walking bag. It'd be a great, like, if you planned on walking 9, great bag. Walking 18.
No. You know, we're in the weeds on this because I've repeatedly put my course up against the wall here on the show because of the foolish things they do. I don't like them. This is my place to sound off on it. So here they are. I know you want an opportunity to talk about a couple things that were bothering your course, but we need to get away from it. There are a couple things we absolutely must talk about. And you told me, and you've given me no insight onto this, that you have a new concept for the breakfast ball, and I have to hear about it.
Yes. So, I mean, there's a lot of rule sticklers on the forum. Like, so, like, let me just preface this. Like, look, it depends on what group you're in. It depends on whether or not the group agrees to it. I'm not saying I'm a breakfast ball advocate or not, but I will, if I'm in a group that allows them, I will take one. Okay. So we played something different. A lot of times what would happen is like you hit like a little weak, like a little weak bleeder off the heel or something. And then you just immediately go down and reload to see if you can get one down the middle of the fairway. Right. So my concept is this, and we put it in play last week, and it actually messed me up. So it was my rule, and it messed me up. If you're going to play a breakfast ball, you have to play it.
But that's new to you?
Yeah, we never played that. Like, we used to hit two, and you get to choose.
No.
We used to hit two, and you got to choose.
This is a better ball. This isn't a scramble off the first tee with yourself. This is the breakfast ball by design is if you do not like your first one, you get another chance. You don't get to pick which one you like better. No.
That's what we were allowing, right?
Oh, so like, man.
So we were allowing that. So we ended that. So I guess it's not a new break. It's a new to me, which I think brings. So this past Sunday, didn't get the full round in. We only got 9 because we got rained out. But hit one bleeder sort of to the right, not into the range, but like where like I'm going to have an awkward stance. I'm going to have to hit it, you know, probably 6-iron. And then I'm like, look, I'm not taking that. I reloaded. And then I immediately hit this screaming like hook into the Cumberland.
That's the waterway again, hard left. Yeah. So he's playing a little army golf out there. Wow. I can't believe you guys got to pick. That's amazing. No, like, I need to play more golf.
It used to irritate me, Dan, where like if someone didn't use their breakfast ball and then all of a sudden they put their tee shot in the water on 4 and then
they're like, yeah.
You'd start seeing them reach into their pocket. Like, what are you doing?
That's my breakfast ball, bro.
I didn't use my breakfast ball. No. You cannot.
Let's call it what it is at that point. It's a mulligan.
It's a mulligan. Yeah. Right. Like, you don't get to keep this breakfast ball in your pocket and then wait until you totally crap the bed somewhere else and then say, I still have my breakfast ball. No, that's not the way this works.
Do you know, I have an honesty moment that I need to share on the show. Are you ready for it? Mm-hmm. So you probably know, because I've sounded off on the forum a fair bit. I've probably sounded off in here as well, that Jen has soft capped me this year. You aware of that?
Oh, you spent a whole show discussing this.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. I ended last year at a +3.3, which is fantastic. Don't get me wrong. Not upset about it. By the time my winter rust was off, I was already, you know, I had lost the plus part of my +3.3 and was immediately soft capped. I've gone through it all year. It's not gone away. I'm getting better, but it's not back to where it was, obviously, +3.3. I have not hit out of a single fairway divot outside of competitive play, which has been very limited this year, all year long. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, first off,
I rolled them. I specifically rolled my ball out of the divots. Let's be clear.
Okay, so you it's not that you have been fortunate enough not to be in a fairway
divot. Oh, I've been in divots, 100%, yeah.
You've been in divots, but you have just decided,
yeah,
this is not for me, okay? That's correct. Like, I think that this rule is garbage, and I'm going to play a different way.
Hey, if Jin is already lowballing my scores, and I'm shooting higher than it anyway, even when rolling out of a divot, what in the hell do I care? I am 100% until I lose my soft cap rolling my ball out of a divot.
Do you know what most of us think when you complain about the soft cap?
Yeah, I do. And okay. I don't feel bad about it. You know, I really thought about just dumping my handicap altogether. Cause like what the whole point of it for me was let's just gauge our abilities, but I'm not doing that anymore. I'm gauging what the system allows, not my actual ability.
Look, I'm trying to sit there, just try to figure out how, like, to keep the ball in play, like, yeah. How to break, you know, to make sure that it's not like a double cross, like it doesn't feel like a folded up lawn chair. And you're sitting here, like, complaining. Oh, I was a plus something.
Complaining is unfair. I'm celebrating. This is a celebration. And let's be clear, my driver swing is horrible right now.
Horrible. You said you went to Topgolf.
Yeah, things got better. Yeah. I found a little thing at the top of my swing, but that was with an iron. I've been efficient with irons. I found a way to sort of lasso at the top, which is what you need. It's a natural move in the golf swing. If you're doing it right, lasso down underneath to get that club head below it and around it. And I was hitting these tasty little draws and they're going on course. If I can figure that out with my driver, I will no longer have a soft cap issue. But until then, I'm rolling meta divots and I feel good about it. I might start taking pictures. I might document my rolls. It could be fun. Good. Yeah.
Good. I'm glad. And you're going to catch. Just be ready because there's some rule sticklers.
Oh, yeah.
Going to go on this post and we're going to have to defend yourself for this.
Yeah. I love doing that though. It's fun. What's the point in chasing a rule book if it's already broken? You know what I mean? Right. Is there a rule in golf you hate the most?
I'm with you on the divot rule. I mean, like, I do think that you should get relief from that. I know that you're not supposed to. I don't know that I've seen it on TV plenty of times, yeah. Right?
You're not supposed to. Up until a couple years ago, you weren't supposed to fix footprints on the green. You can do that now.
Right. Like, yeah. I think it could evolve.
Yeah.
Right? I do see some like very egregious drops though, like even on TV. Like if you remember the PGA, can I just go to this? I mean, did you talk about this on the show? The Louis Oosthuizen?
No.
Like,
no, I let it go.
You didn't talk. Look, he on Saturday, and he's playing with Phil, and Phil is just trying to be a nice guy. Like Phil's just like us. Yeah. Like we deep down know that your buddy's ball did not carry that line on the hazard.
Yeah.
But at some point, you're not going to say, no, buddy, you have to go way the hell back there.
Yeah. 1.3-C or whatever it is. That's collusion, brother. You're both disqualified.
What we normally say is like, do you think it across? Like whatever yeah. you want to do. Okay. Yeah. Just drop your ball, hit three, let's go. Right. Yeah. But I mean, this is on TV in front of everybody. And it was such an egregious drop. Like Twitter blew up. I can't believe you didn't mention it on your show.
No,
like,
I'm comfortable. I honestly, any opportunity to circumvent the rules and get someone in the rule book to agree with it is a good day for me. And I'm not doing it. I'm just saying when I see it, I think it's hilarious. That's how I feel about the rules. And I have the book right here. I've read it numerous times.
Well, you asked me what I don't like when people like get they're trying to figure out their nearest point of relief or something from the hazard. They're using the driver or whatever. And then somehow mysteriously their drop is in the fairway.
Yeah. Well, you can't improve your lie, can you?
Like,
maybe that's not a drop out of a hazard. That might be a drop from, from like a sprinkler head or something like that.
Yeah. Like that, I don't like that.
I love those.
I don't like that.
Yeah. It's fine. We have to talk about a couple of things. Otherwise, we're just going to keep going to the weeds on this one too. You are, if I understand this right, Dax, you're a pretty big fan of betting.
Yes. Yes.
I know you haven't seen much or talked about it much, but like you've started to learn a little bit about betting. Is that true?
Man, at one point in my life, I was a degenerate.
Yeah. So let's put a little context in here for those who aren't familiar with the community. Dax here puts lines on some of the events we do on THP. We've got a huge one coming up right now called the Morgan Cup. It's out at THP Las Vegas. This drops on a Friday. It will actually be occurring the 2 days following this episode going live. So what Dax likes to do before these events is he puts the line down on the event itself. We've actually got a live show coming. Shout out to Dax for putting that together. If you are familiar with the forum or you do follow Dax on Twitter, I'm sure you'll be able to get access to that to see my goofy face live. That's on Friday night. So this whole huge thing to say, you've got the over-unders, you've got the pluses and the minuses, you've got the potential for crazy. What reins you in at this point in your life? How do you not get right back to it with all this sort of side stuff going on?
Like what reins me in from like becoming a degenerate?
Yeah. Your wife?
My wife.
Yeah, Leslie. Right. You absolute saint.
I do this for fun. I started doing this a long time ago, like just on a lark. Like I remember the first time that I posted odds or a preview for a THP event was 2017. The hype event.
It's just some random event. Big deal for a couple guys going, but for anyone else, you wouldn't expect this kind of effort be put in.
And I was trying to figure out whether or not, like, would people, because I wasn't playing or I wasn't going, but I felt like it would be, there was some sort of stake for those of us that were watching along at home, because like if there was like, I think 6 or 7 people. Anyway, if we picked the right person, we had a chance to win what they won. At that event. So like I started doing it and I started looking through and it takes me a long time, believe it or not, to put this stuff together. Like
read any post from Dax and it takes me time to read it. I know it took him time to put it together.
So I'm going through their post history. I'm trying to figure out what the state of their game is. I'm like seeing, like, most people are gonna poor mouth their game anyway. Most people's game is always in shambles before they show up for anything.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
So you try to read in between the lines. You go back to see if they've played in anything before. Did they play well? So all these things go into it. It was a pretty big hit, believe it or not. It was crazy. I was like, okay. Okay, so from then on, like, I thought it was just going to be like a one-time thing. and then there was like the THP Championship came right after that. And then into 2018, like I was going to skip for like a Bridgestone event. I wasn't going to do it. Like I was like, okay, well, everyone's had fun. I started getting like messages or texts like, hey, are you not going to do this for this? You know? And I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll put something together. I wasn't. So for almost every competitive event since, you know, late 2017, whenever that hype event was, I've done some sort of preview, some sort of odds. Now, the weird thing is that I used to have to spend a lot of time back in 2017, 2018, explaining to people what the numbers meant. Like, not okay, this, you know, okay, this person's minus 150, which, you know, means you have to lay 150 to win 100. This person's plus 220. That means if you laid 100, you would win 220. With the advent of like the betting being legal in a lot of states, everyone knows what these numbers mean now. Because everyone's throwing a little sprinkle on, you know, they know what money line numbers are now. Like if you live in a state that's got legalized sports betting, you know, and people, you know, sort of get into it. And look, no, I have never taken any action. Well, I take that back. A guy named Posey, one Morgan Cup wanted to bet me on my line, and he lost. I've had people in the event like PM me, just like furious that I made them an underdog. Like I'm not going to give out a name. Last year's Morgan Cup, one of the participants was furious that I made him. No, it wasn't a litter. He's a dude. A litter. Shout out to Mike. He's always slightly unhinged. Like he's always like one step away from gaslighting himself into some very bad things. And you know what? You should have us back before the rivalry.
Yeah, absolutely. That's going to happen for sure.
But yeah, one of the participants got really upset. I made him a big underdog. And yeah, he got beat like he stole something the next day. Like I told him, said, look, this is for I would take your bet, but I'm not taking your money. You're just go out there and have fun. Like you shouldn't be really concerned about what I posted on this forum as a form of entertainment for everyone else that's following along. Worry about your singles match tomorrow. Because by the way, the guy that you are playing tomorrow doesn't lose at the Morgan Cup. Okay. Yeah.
Have you I should have went back through and to see what you did to me in 2019, because I remember sitting back and watching the live show on the Friday night, and I'm sitting at on Defusky Island at Hag Point, unbelievable venue, spending my Friday night watching your live show thinking that this is great. That's an added depth that you never expect to have. But people enjoy it, man, and it's super fun to do.
But it's look like Morgan Cups this week. I mean, the whole thing is about becoming a tour player, right? You get to be a tour player for one weekend. Well, guess what? Being part of being a tour player is people are going to talk about the event that you're in, what clubs are in your bag, you know, sort of like just like we just got finished with the Morgan Cup. I'm trying to bring that same deal to these guys that are going to be playing. They'll be hearing this probably starting their practice round. Hopefully they're listening to us.
Yeah,
while they're going through their practice run.
I don't want to take too much away because we do have a live show coming the same day this actually drops. But the Morgan Cup is an unbelievable all 14 club experience. This year, again, it's at TPC Las Vegas. We got a couple incredible guys, Jose and Mike, coming in from Cobra to help host with JB at the you know, Vegas style. And we will absolutely be tuned in for that. I want to kind of slide into the discussion about live betting as it relates to the tour. Because I'm not a big betting guy, Dax. I will sit there and watch people bet all night long. Until it's my money, it's awesome. And then when I put my money down, I was like, $20 bet on blackjack. If I lose it, I'm like, what the hell just happened to my $20? I'm not a long game kind of guy. You are, and when we look at the PGA Tour transitioning a little bit, what do you think about this live betting stuff that's coming?
I don't – live betting, just remember that these apps that you can go on, whether or not it's FanDuel or, you know, MGM offers live betting. They did during the Ryder Cup. They did during every major. Usually they did let you live bet either the – During the Ryder Cup, they let you live bet like in between holes of matches. So you could bet, they would change the odds of who was going to win the match live. And you could also bet the matches hole by hole, like whether or not Team USA or Team Europe would win this hole or would they have the hole, right? Those things aren't built by losers, meaning that there's a reason that they're offering this type of action to you. And it's not to hand you money.
Yeah.
So it's to take your money. Live betting is very, very dangerous to get involved in because in many cases, what you think is going to happen, like you have to pay so much on the juice in to sort of bail out of your bet to begin with that it's almost not worth it. to live bet. I don't advocate live betting. Now, if you want to go out before the final round and bet on somebody, a lot of times what they'll do is they'll even group people. They'll give you top 10 bets. Like Roy McIlroy, who I hate, by the way, is a really good dude, like, to bet. Like, if he's outside the top 10 on a Saturday, he's going to backdoor a top 10 somehow. So, like, you can get a really good number on him, like, finishing top 10 an awful lot. A lot of people do that type of betting. But the live betting, that's meant to take your money.
Do you think that's a little scary, though, with how, you know, obviously we've all seen Happy Gilmore and it won't go to that level, but is there a little bit in the back of your head like that something like that could happen where you have a guy out there just trying to ruin someone's day purely on the live betting aspect?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, they're already like, I mean, the crowds are already getting a little, I mean, rowdy, mm-hmm. You know, it used to be just like waste management. Right,
it was like a one and done. Waste management and Ryder Cup, and everyone else was sane, right?
Right, but I think that you're going to see that carry in, especially if people are out there live betting on their phones, right?
With a Mick Ultra in their left hand, right?
Yes, and then maybe they bet on the other guy though to win the hole, and then all of a sudden you've got the crowd causing disruption, so they could win their bet potentially or cause something to happen in a golf swing. I don't think that they should allow – I mean, you need to allow cell phones out there because it, I guess you need to, but now that you have this betting aspect, I don't know if I would allow that.
Yeah, that's a challenge. I'm curious to see that. We haven't had a ton of chat. I haven't seen a lot of it on social, and we definitely hadn't had a ton on the THP community forums about it. Might have to kick that off here soon. I know you'll be in there plenty. I don't know. I'm curious to see – I don't think it's going to ruin golf from what golf is aspect, but I definitely think it's going to add another incentive for insanity to occur. And that's a big fear of mine because we already are. Like
anytime you allow people to bet on something, it's going to be more popular. There's a reason that the NFL is the most popular sport in this country.
Yeah.
And it's not just because it's football. It's because a lot of people either play fantasy, which is a form of gambling, or straight up bet on the games.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. A little bit of crazy there. So we are wrapping up the show right now. I think overall there's a segment at the end and you are a listener, so you know it's coming. I allow my guests to ask any questions of me they would like. Do you have anything for me tonight, Dax?
Yeah. I mean, I think that I was going to ask this because you get asked this all the time. If you could move anywhere in the United States, where would it be and why?
South, because
South is like in this one geographic place, or do you have a specific place in the South?
I've had this debate with my wife. Unfortunately, she doesn't listen to that many episodes, even though I think she is going to get heckled into listening at least a couple of them. I might start live betting that. I say South because it's better than where I am. And I only say that because golf 12 months a year, and she's actually walking by the room right now. So if she can hear me, she's probably angry. She has an awesome job here. We're not going anywhere, but I would say South. I'd be cool with like inland Carolinas, maybe a little bit of that Georgia or Tennessee action somewhere down there, but not quite like heat of the surface of the sun, like Florida with the humidity, or like Arizona. Surely there's some cool places that I haven't found out. So South, is that fair?
I grew up in Baton Rouge, and if you thought that Nashville had a lot of humidity, that Nashville doesn't have any humidity compared to that.
So that's why I'm saying Florida's a big no. It's a big X on that one. And then like the overly expensive, like California's got great weather, but the price there is a little bit out of my realm. So that's going to be a big no. Cool spot though. I like going there.
And so the other question I have written down.
Yeah. Well, you actually wrote questions down.
Yeah. Well, I knew it was coming. I'm a regular listener. I wrote three.
All right.
If money was no object.
Yeah.
What would you do and why?
Like in with my life?
Yeah. What would you do?
If money, what does that mean? If money was no object.
Like, say you didn't have to worry about like. So, like,
if I had a sugar mama, is that what you're saying? Like, if the wife had a very, very big job,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't need to work, I would.
Yeah.
I would have a hard time not wanting to participate as some sort of pro at a golf course. I would absolutely love to go through all that process to learn the golf swing to a depth that I'm not familiar with and support there. I think the idea of being a part of the game of golf right now is super appealing to me. And I'm trying to isolate this to golf because, I mean, there's obviously a ton podcast. Of things. Yeah, you definitely want to keep it relevant. But, you know, I see the connections people make at golf courses and the engagements they have. I just think it'd be super fun, even if it wasn't for forever. You know, I wouldn't mind driving around a golf cart telling people to hurry the, you know, expletive yes. up and get their round done, since money doesn't matter and I could be fired. It's not a big deal. But yeah, it just seems like that would be a super, super fun way to use my time.
Do I have time more for one more? Or no?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Last question I wrote down.
Yeah.
If you could only play one brand of golf gear for the rest of the time you played golf, what brand would it be?
Do you think I can answer that? That seems super unfair.
No, I knew that you would be nervous.
I'm not nervous, man. I don't.
This is going to be a great like non-answer. It's going to be like a great Canadan. You're going to try to answer this, but then not really answer the question.
Well, there's a couple problems there. First of all, what about the companies who make great product but don't have a full 14?
Okay, all right.
What about them? Are they immediately excluded?
Like, well, I mean, in the context of my question, it was only one thing. So
it's
like,
a pretty small window, bud.
Right. It's a small window. They have to make balls. They have to make putters.
Oh, they have to make balls too. So basically you want me to play Callaway or Titleist?
No, I mean, you could play Strixon. I'm letting you count Cleveland Strixon as the same thing.
But that seems unfair though, because it's Zexio, Cleveland, Strixon. That's a lot of companies.
Yeah, but Strixon doesn't have a wedge line because they're going to kick you over the Cleveland website.
That's what I'm saying. So, that's super unfair. But what about, I guess Mizuno, yeah, they've got the balls. They're not like super here, but they're definitely relevant. No, I'm not answering that one. That's unfair.
Didn't think
that's
you would.
Super criminal. I think there's way too much fun. And people ask me all the time, like, if you could commit to one thing in one part of your bag, would you? And you just mentioned 2015 as a year where you were really buying it up and catching grief. I mean, from XR to now, think of all the transitions in drivers, the original Epic to now, like that stretch of years has so much interesting product. Part of being in love with golf is loving the terrible decisions we make as consumers, right? If you eliminate that part of it.
Like what's buying that? Did you buy the Razor Hawk driver?
I had an Extreme in the bag. I probably paid for it too. Yeah.
Okay, that was a terrible decision. Also, the X24s with the gunmetal finish.
You see the point? That decision. Was back when like the Cleveland Classic was a monster, right? The TaylorMade went from the upper echelon of the R9. What was it? The Super Quad? Is that what it was called? I know a bunch of guys have
the Super Quad with the four weights, right?
I remember when Cobra came out with the LTD, the King LTD. Like, you can't just skip those kinds of experiences as a golfer. I would never, unless they paid me, commit to 14.
I remember camping out at a Golf Galaxy with Illiterate, with Mike. Shout out to Mike Thomas. Yeah. Listen to shit. Remember when the R11 launched?
Yeah.
Like, we camped out for the midnight opening to go hit that club.
And yeah, and they're still selling brand new R11 drivers. Shout out to their,
Right.
we that's way too far. Do you have an answer for that? Like, straight off your head? Do you have an answer for that right now?
What would I, if I had to play just 14? One?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think Jason Finley's going to listen to the show.
He might.
Honestly,
I can clip this and send it to him.
You could clip this if I had to. Like, there's so many, like Cobra. I mean, like, I probably couldn't answer that question either. So, like, it would either be like, it's either Callaway or Cobra or Cleveland Strixon. One of those three. I could do that.
There's a Cobra now with the new putters. It's a great point.
Yeah.
But they don't have balls. So they're out.
They don't have balls. They're out. So probably Callaway or Cleveland Strixon.
Okay. No Titleist.
Look, I love the T200, the T series. I do. But I'm not going to lie to you, the sound of the previous iteration of that club like turned me off the Titleist irons for a while.
Big bump to the new T series irons. Go check them out, everyone. If you haven't answered this and you actually paid attention to us for this long, give us a shout out on social media. Mostly me, not a lot of Dax, but we're also get a conversation going in THP forum, because this is something that's brought up a lot, but it changes year to year because equipment is so different. Either way, Dax, thanks, man, for coming on. It was super fun talking to you. I think we need to get you back on. There's a lot to unpack in the mind of Dax as the year progresses. And you have a pretty significant event coming up with our boy Mike that needs to be discussed in full. And I need to have control of the mute button for it. So thanks, man, for coming on. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Glad to. Anyone out there playing golf this weekend or watching the Morgan Cup, watching golf, whatever you're doing, have a great time with it. Let me know how you do, and I'll see you guys next week.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.